This is a Power 98.7 podcast. Now we're talking. Subscribe to Power 98.7 podcasts in iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. There's more on power987.co.za.
The High Court in Johannesburg, ruled or at least directed parties involved in an eviction battle at a multi-million rand property in Midrand to, instead of battling it out through litigation, to instead draft an interim agreement between themselves, which will see an end to this dispute. It is between the property owners and lawyers representing over 100 waste reclaimers, over 100 waste collectors, who've in fact been staying on the property owned by the owners for 5 years. The property is earmarked for a more than 400 million rand redeployment. So obviously there's a lot of money at play here. But of course, we also have the constitutionally enshrined rights of these waste reclaimers to housing that also have to be protected. And joining us on the line to discuss obviously their role as amicus curiae in the matter, the ICJ that is, we're joined on the line by Timothy Fish Hodgson, who's legal advisor on social, economic and cultural rights at the ICJ. Tim, thank you so much for your time and thank you for joining us.
It's a pleasure. I'm glad to be here with you.
So since yesterday, the court has ordered that this agreement be drafted between the parties to this case. What's your response to that, given the fact that I think your position was quite clear, right? The reclaimers should not be evicted because they'd be rendered homeless and unable to continue with their trade.
Yeah, so our submission was about if the reclaimers were to be rendered homeless, because the city's initial position in the papers was that because of COVID-19 and financial consequences of it, that they wouldn't be able to for several years provide temporary alternative accommodation. But in court, the city seemed to change its turn and say that actually they could make a plan for temporary alternative accommodation. And so the second leg of our argument as an amicus supporting the occupiers' case, it was to say that there is a right to work in international human rights law. And so wherever the temporary alternative accommodation is that the government procures, it must allow them to continue to work as reclaimers. So to answer your question directly on where we stand, the occupiers seem to be in a better place than they were yesterday at the start of the day. It seems like the arguments went fairly well for them and the city has softened its position somewhat. But it still remains to be seen what the city does when it reports back to the court as it's been required to.
Can a contract actually solve an impasse or a dispute of this nature and ensure that it is the contents of that contract are in fact fair and equitable to both affected parties?
It wouldn't be a contract. It would be an agreement between the parties which is made into an order of court. And in litigation relating to housing rights, our constitutional court has told us that parties should be meaningfully engaging to try and come to a solution that isn't as confrontational and aggressive and zero-sum as litigation. So often what happens in these cases is that parties are required to negotiate and engage to try and come to a resolution, which then can be made an order of court and the court can supervise.
Could that process be protracted, given the fact that I suppose both sides here have to feel as though their respective complaints or respective desired outcomes are fulfilled?
It's likely to be pretty protracted because there seems to be agreement from all the parties, including the owner, that this eviction definitely can't happen until the state of disaster ends. So we don't really know when that's going to be. So for that reason, it's likely to be protracted. But also, it depends on how quickly the city does its job. Because at the moment, the occupiers are living under the threat of eviction, and the owners are living without access to their property. And what it's got to do with is the ability of the department, the relevant departments in government and the municipality, to do the job of finding an equitable solution where the informal reclaimers can find temporary alternative accommodation in a place that they can work, and then the developers can have access to their land.
Are you not at all concerned, at which direction this may go? And I only ask that because we recently did an interview on Power Update concerning the residents of the Winnie Mandela informal settlement, where they have had to take the Ekurhuleni municipality to court over a previous settlement that was also reached between the city and residents who were in need of housing. The city, years later, still hasn't supplied that housing or that alternative accommodation. and they are now taking the city to the Constitutional Court to have it repay some sort of compensation. So what I'm trying to get at is we do have a history of local governments not fulfilling these agreements that are often reached at that, you know, court level. And I wonder, or at least I worry about enforcing these sorts of agreements. Do we have a good track record, in essence, of enforcing these kinds of agreements?
So it might interest you, and I speak stands correction, but I'm quite confident that the Socioeconomic Rights Institute of South Africa is the legal representative of the occupiers in that matter, as well as in this matter. And we're obviously just coming in as a third party to make submissions as an amicus curiae. But you are right to say that municipalities in general, and I'm not talking about the specific case now, have a tendency to drag their feet in implementing court orders, and for that matter to begin with, in applying the law which they know stands, which is that they cannot evict people without accommodation that's already provided at the time that the eviction happens. A lot of time is of property owners and of communities, and a lot of pressure and stress is caused by the lackadaisical approach of the municipalities in Gauteng and also around the country. Sometimes actually the municipalities come to court and they make arguments which they know cannot stand because the law has already put it out. And I'll give you an example in this case, although it wasn't actually argued by the city in court. At an initial stage in this case, and one of the reasons for our intervention, is the city denied that they had to provide temporary alternative accommodation to these people because some of them, not all of them, are not South African citizens. And although there's very clear case law establishing that South African citizens and non-South African citizens have rights, including the right to work, including the right to housing, the city was merely saying, well, no, we're not going to deal with this problem until the Department of Home Affairs has dealt with the migration status of these people. And that's obviously completely unlawful, but the city maintained that position in its papers initially. And then you get to court, and when the city is in front of a judge, you might get a different position that's being presented. And this is a fairly common thing. So overall, to answer your question, there could be problems like this, and it can be very protracted, and there could be a very long-term issue for both the occupiers and the owners. And the only entity that can resolve the problem is the municipality in cooperation with other arms of government. And they should do so, but they should do so in compliance with the law.
Yeah. All right, Tim. Well, I suppose we'll keep our eye on developments on this story. And as you said, the waste reclaimers are in a better position today than they were in yesterday. Thank you so much for joining us on the line.
You've been listening to a Power 98.7 podcast. For more podcasts, visit power987.co.za or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.